Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Sunday Talks with Kelly and Lisa. Today, we're continuing our discussion about money. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Kelly.
We were talking before the show, and if anyone listening has some issues with Blog Talk or the show cutting off earlier, we're not sure what's going on with that. So,
right.
Welcome to the show, and let's hope it goes fabulous here. You know, last week we were talking about the importance of things like insurance and, you know, your final expenses, those kinds of things. And, you know, that is kind of out of order, but at the same time, we felt it was an important thing to talk about. When you're talking about setting money goals, you do want to take those things into account. One of the things that was brought up to me during the week was the concept of planning to be debt-free so you don't leave your heirs with a lot of debt. So I thought, you know, everyone needs to strive to be debt-free. It's really difficult to accomplish. But, and I'm pretty sure we mentioned that on the show, but because I got a couple of comments on that, I wanted to start out there so that we kind of continue our discussion from last week. There are so many tips that people give for getting out of debt, paying off your highest interest rate first or the lowest amount you owe first. There's just a number of ways to do it. And one of the things that I think you mentioned, Lisa, was when you are thinking about paying off debt, don't forget that you can't kind of tap yourself out paying off debt. You have to have some sort of a savings, you know, or at least money, extra money in your checking account. Don't give every penny you have to creditors, or you're just going to continue having to go deeper into debt. So I thought we'd start there. What kind of tips do you have? What do you tell people?
The first thing I tell people is you don't have to be debt-free to start investing in yourself and your, you know, your future, your retirement, your short-term goals, your long-term goals. You don't have to be debt-free in order to start doing that. The most important thing to do is pay yourself and then have that goal of snowballing that debt. One thing that I like to do is don't snowball multiple credit cards at one time. Find your highest interest rate, credit card, whatever the loans, you know, who knows what's out there. Find the highest interest rate and just put a little extra to that and snowball that one. And then when that one's paid off, then you want to apply that to the next highest interest rate and snowball that. But don't think you have to have that taken care of first. Even if it's an extra $10 a month, it's an extra $10 a month. You can work on your debt, but also work on, for me, I believe in a short-term savings. Work on your short-term savings, get that established. While you're paying your regular payments to your credit card, if you can put a little bit of extra in there, that's one thing. But make sure you have, you know, at least 3 months of the most important bills. You know, nobody wants to have credit collectors or really bad credit, but you can build that back up. I don't recommend not working on that if you can work on that. So for me, it's getting that – knowing your spending, know your spending. Look at what goes out versus what comes in. Are you paying too much for a, you know, a fancy coffee that you can make at home? Are you eating out way too much? That's a huge expense, and I know it's a it's convenient to purchase, you know, through the drive-thru on your way home because you're tired or you've got a lot going on. But is there a way you can buy 3 hours of your time during the week and meal plan? So know your spending.
Right.
Know how to adjust that spending, work on your short-term emergency account first. If you already have that established, then at the same time, make sure you're paying yourself, but also then look at snowballing that debt. Starting with the highest, focus on one, that short-term paying it off. Oh, just the satisfaction of checking that block and go, oh my gosh, it is so rewarding. So pay it off and then take that payment and snowball it into the next one and snowball it into the next one. I'm a firm believer in making sure you have some sort of security before you start really chunking away at that debt.
Right. And here's the thing that also came up this week when I was talking to a couple of people that I know personally, and we've had these discussions in the past. It's really difficult for a lot of people to even consider having a savings account because their entire lives, their money story has been, I'll never have anything, I don't deserve to have anything, money is for other people, all of those negative things that we've been taught. And I know I mentioned it before, where I've heard people say, well, I pay on the debts, on the bills every month. And what that does is it trains your brain to think, you know what, I'm never going to be out of debt. I must deserve debt. And that's one of the things that, you know, we have talked about many times, but it bears repeating. Because when we're talking about, you know, having a savings account, paying yourself first, you know, having your safety net. There are people listening to our show right now who are laughing because they don't believe they will ever be able to do any of that. One of the simplest things I ever heard anyone say about paying bills is, okay, you've got it in your head that you can't possibly pay more than you're already paying. When you look at your credit card, let's say your minimum payment due is $50. What are the cents of your statement? Is it, you know, $543.12? Is it 17 cents? Is it 67 cents? When you make your minimum payment of $50, make it $50.67. And what that does is it starts training your brain that you can pay more than what is due. And if you start there, it's still a starting point. It's still a step in the right direction. And once you've realized, you know what, I'm paying a little bit more than the minimum due every month. Yeah, I'm not paying it off in big buckets, but that's, you know, 67 cents more than they asked me for. And then after doing that, you may be comfortable giving them $10 more. But you need to train your brain first. It is possible to get out of debt, even if you do it 67 cents at a time. It is possible to get out of debt. But sometimes we try to start much larger than what our money story is. And I've seen this recently with someone who got an inheritance, and she had like $5,000 worth of credit card debt spread over three different cards. I don't know that, but that's what I'm guessing. And instead of putting a big chunk of that money she got into savings, well, she immediately paid off those cards. And on the surface, that looks like that was a swell idea. But then she decided to put the rest of it on her mortgage. Well, now she has nothing left in the bank, and she still owes on her mortgage. And what she did immediately, because she didn't have money in the bank, is she used one of those credit cards to go grocery shopping. And that's the way we are trained. And when I was talking to her about it, she said, well, that's the way she grew up. You know, when you get money, you pay everybody else first. And if there's nothing left, there's nothing left, but your responsibility is to pay everybody else first. And I know a lot of people who grew up with that. It's everyone else first, you come last. And that's not a healthy way of thinking. But I've seen that happen a lot of times. That tends to be what a lot of people do. So it all comes down to when we say pay yourself first, you know, in my head, I'm hearing people laugh because there are so many people who believe they don't deserve to be paid first. So when we talk about money, and there are so many money programs, and the reason most people, even after spending money they don't really have, taking a money program, it works for a while, and then they find themselves right back where they started, and they don't understand why. And they say, oh, well, that program didn't work. That teacher didn't know what she was talking about. And that's not what's going on there.
Right.
You need to look at yourself. And so often in the United States, at least, and I have friends all over the world, and believe me, it's not this way in other countries. It's just not. But somewhere in the United States, we started teaching people, and parents started teaching their children that you should be in debt. You know, you should, it's the capitalist society. You know, buy, 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 spend, spend, spend. It doesn't matter if you max out that credit card, because you know what? You can get another credit card. And I remember hearing that in my younger days. I came from a family, that was their financial planning. Oh, look, we're about to max out this credit card. Our credit's still good enough. Let's find a 0% balance transfer, and we'll get another credit card with a bigger limit. And that's the way they would do things. And that's just not healthy.
Right.
People are trying to spend their way to happiness. And that never works. You know, so
I think that's also an odd obligation that we're raised with in society. To be a contributing member of society, you have to, you know, go to a job and make this money and pay your taxes and, you know, buy the things in order to give people jobs to go to work to make this money to pay the taxes. And it's a cyclical cycle, and it's our duty as American citizens to help our GDP and all of the other things that come along with that. So I think that's something that along the way got twisted and the story changed a little bit. And it doesn't mean that you have to die a pauper. You know, you can absolutely set yourself up for financial success and still do that contribution without being hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt or whatever the case may be, you know. And you said there's many programs out there, and so who do you listen to? For me, you were talking, and I was thinking, make it a game. Your money wants a job.
Yeah.
Let's pretend that your money wants a job. Okay, if it's not something that you can wrap your brain around, we're going to go to Fantasyland for a minute, and we're going to, your money wants a job. Don't put it in a savings account. Put it in a, do you know you can have more than one of those? You can have more than one high-yield interest account. Now, you want to have easy access to your money for those short-term and long-term types of savings plans. The best one would be a high-yield savings account. But do you want to take a trip to Aruba? Name that your savings account and put your money towards that trip to Aruba. Do you want a different type of car? I would personally love to drive a little Porsche. Classic would be my way to go. So that's my savings. But my savings fund is not, you know, savings number two. It's Lisa's fun car fund, you know. And you give your, you give it a name, you give it a purpose, and you see that number starting to grow. And it's, there's just so much reward from that. If you are a numbers person, and an Excel spreadsheet is a way that you can really get into seeing what that budget is and that money savings is for you and whatnot, do that. Do you like the idea of a bubble chart for goals? You know, you see those thermometers that you color in as you get up to a certain level. I mean, is that something that you would be more keen to pushing yourself towards those money goals? What works for you? Make it a game. Make it a game. Make it a fun game, not a dreadful game. Make it a fun game where you can see what your money is doing. Have multiple accounts for different things that you're trying to achieve. It's okay to do that. It's okay to name multiple accounts. Don't put all of your money in one basket. Do have those different accounts because you don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. If you're saving for a trip and eventually a car in 4 years, you don't want to take from your trip fund or your car fund in order to finance one of the other two. So make sure that they have different jobs. And it's so, it sounds so trivial. It sounds so, how is this even going to work? But it does.
Well, and
always
thank
your money.
Someone just commented, I have $18 in my bank account. I won't say that on air. Am I supposed to divide up that with money for different things? And see, that's where a lot of people shoot themselves in the foot before they even get started. You may be in a dire situation right now, but I can tell you from experience, there was a time in my life where I was beyond broke. I was very nearly homeless. And I had probably $18. I think it was less than that. I think I had $11 or $12 in the bank. And what I did is I looked at that money in my bank balance and I said, okay, this is rock bottom. Never again will I be this broke. And I deserve better. And if you are one of those people who are that broke right now, that financially challenged right now, I can guarantee you don't like yourself. And that's probably why, because in this country, we've been taught we can spend our way to happiness. So look at the money you have in your bank and say, you know what? This is rock bottom. And I can do better and I deserve better. And it is okay for me to put me first. I deserve to put me first. And I know the other day I helped someone get a financial assistance for their utility bill. And those programs are out there. If you are to the point where you are truly at rock bottom, there is help out there. But you have to believe you are worthy of receiving that help. There is nothing wrong with needing help. We've been taught in this country that that's a weakness. That's not a weakness. The strongest thing I ever did was ask for help when I needed it. You have to believe you're worthy of that. And honestly, through my years of experience, I have come to realize that is the reason most people have money issues, because they do not believe they deserve to have money. And they feel very unworthy. And I'm telling you, there are these wonderful banks online that have zero fees. Find one of those or find a local bank that has free checking, free savings. Because what happened to me, and I've seen it happen to a lot of other people, is when I was first starting out and I was trying to save even $5 or $10 a month, along would come a $12 service charge, and I was back to zero. So find a free checking, free savings. And, you know, what I did when I did, when I changed banks and I went to a free online bank, what I did was take that $12 service fee and put that in my savings account, paid myself a service fee. Start small. It's okay. It's okay if you have $5 to put in your savings. If you have $1 to put in your savings, that's okay. Start small. Start where you are. And if you just get started, you'll be surprised how much your self-esteem improves. Even if you can look and it's only $10 in your savings account. People tend to try to overdo things. Don't do that. Start wherever you are Do you have $18 in the bank? A dollar of that can go in your savings.
Yes.
You can always transfer it back if you need it. You know, and I've known people who did that. I know someone right now. I've been coaching her for a very long time. And she put $50 in savings last month. That was the biggest amount she had ever put into her savings account at one time. I threw her a party. Celebrate little victory.
Yes.
You know, and I know I kind of got on a soapbox there, but when I see comments like the one that I got, I know where you are. I know where you are. And you can start. You can still start. You know, it's amazing to me the differences in what kids are taught, for instance, in Europe versus the United States. You know, there's a big concentration on doing your part and saving for a rainy day and all of these socially conscious things that children are taught in school in other countries. And we don't have that in the U.S., and we should. We should start that, even if it's parents teaching kids. And parents should be teaching their kids about money. You know, my family taught me how to kite checks back in the day when that was a thing and how to roll a credit card balance over onto a bigger card. Not exactly helpful. But, yeah, start. Just start. Just start. And if you're finding you can't get started, you can't find that motivation, you can't find the self-esteem to put the money into your own savings account, reach out. Reach out to Lisa. Reach out to me. We'll help you. It's one step at a time. And I think we beat ourselves up because we think we should be taking bigger steps. And that's not true. You know, everyone is different.
You just hit that right there, Kelly. That right there, taking bigger steps. If you have a dollar a week to put into a savings account, do it. Just the confidence that you will get from sliding that dollar into that savings account, start where you are. Don't look at the big picture and think that you can't get there. Because you can, but you have to take baby steps. My big picture, I don't know if this is going to be helpful to anybody, but this is what my big picture is. I have an outline. You know those paint-by-number kits where it's like just the outline and it tells you what to color where? That's what my big picture looks like. And my steps are now I'm coloring in the different parts of my picture to actually make it colorful, the painting. Since we're using the analogy, we'll stick with the painting. That's what my big picture looks like. I know what I want, but I can plan all day long, and life is going to throw something in my way. I don't have the entire picture filled in. I do have very specific goals in mind that go along with that big picture, how much money I want in my bank, what I want my, you know, assets to be worth, whatever the case may be. I know what I want that to be. But instead of just looking at that big number, I know that I want that big number, but I put it to the side. So I'm like, how many smaller numbers is it going to take to get to that big number? And it might be starting off with $1. You are worth $1. I promise you. You are worth that $1. Put it in a savings account. A savings account is for your immediate use when you have an emergency. Don't go buy yourself a pair of those red bottom shoes, but if you need that for a tank of gas to get yourself to work, whatever in the case may be, groceries, that's what it's there for. That is absolutely what it's there for. Know your money and allocate it to your household bills, your savings. Once you start seeing that $1 grow into $2, grow into $3, you might be able to look at your budget and whittle something else out. It's a game. It is an absolute game to say, whoa, where can I find another $50 to put away this month or this year? What can I do to help with that? Can I start unplugging all of my electronics that I'm not using that are costing me energy, that small amount of savings on your energy bill, I know it sounds ridiculous, but can be very helpful. I'm in a group on Facebook. It's a frugal group. And some of the things some of those people do, I'm like, okay, all right.
Right.
There are people who don't buy toilet paper. They are that frugal. I am not recommending that. I am not. You do you if that's what you want to do. But there are ways to cut money. You need somebody to help you. You either need to follow a program or listen to a lot of podcasts about finance. Listen to other people, not just Kelly and I. If you want financial success, you need to – there's free resources out there. Just take it all in. Start getting all of the knowledge that you can, but more so than that, apply that knowledge. But you are worthy of $1 out of that $18. I promise you, you are worthy of $1 to put into a savings account. And instead of wondering how you can do it, once you start doing it, your brain changes. And it's like, how can I do more? What can I do now? Is there a side hustle I can do? Can I Uber Eats or do Shipt and grocery shop for people? They are not sponsors. Are there things that I can do? Are there things that I can sell that I've had for a very long time that really are not useful to me? They don't bring me joy. Can I put them on, you know, Facebook Marketplace or eBay or something? Can I go to my local Salvation Army or Goodwill? They aren't sponsors either. Can I go to a thrift store and find a designer dress for $5 and sell it on one of these resale type of apps for more and get a little bit more money than what I spent for it? When you start to feel your worth, when you start to realize your worth, instead of saying, how can I possibly do this with only this amount of money, you start looking at it as, what can I do now? How can I get more? What can I do to get more? It's amazing how your brain starts to change the verbiage that you use when it comes to your financial success, your financial wellness.
You know, those are very good points. I want to add something about thrift store shopping. You can find amazing things at thrift stores, Habitat for Humanity stores. Look up, if you're ever looking for furniture or tables, that kind of stuff, look up a hotel warehouse near you. I can't remember what they're called.
Great suggestion.
Hotel resale or something. Every time hotels renovate, every time they redecorate their room, they sell at rock bottom prices all of that old furniture to resellers. And you can go, I know I have picked up a very, very nice furniture for pennies on the dollar at, you know, hotel resale places. They also sell things like
bedspreads. That is an excellent tip.
Yeah, you know, it's
amazing.
I didn't
know that existed. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's mostly the furniture, but it's also, you know, artwork and bedding and, you know, everything that you would find in a hotel room. That was, I have scored so big on different things going to those places. When you find your spots, you know, kind of keep them to yourself, because what I have done in the past is I have found amazing thrift stores that had all kind of cool stuff, and I tell people about it, and now my thrift store is always out of stock of stuff. So you have to, you know, not exactly scream it to the world where you find your things. But, you know, things like that are really, really helpful. I used to call it GW's Boutique, Goodwill, because when I was a teenager and I was on my own with a baby, it was incredible. I could find all of her clothes and most of mine at Goodwill. And, you know, for pennies on the dollar. So much of my furniture in my early adulthood came from thrift stores. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're even the slightest bit creative, you can take something that is worn and maybe needs a little bit of touch-up or repair, and you can make it fabulous. You know, it's amazing what you can do with creativity. You know, people ask me about, you know, their house feels dark or they can't, you know, they want to redecorate, they want to change things and they can't afford it. And, you know, it's easy for me to say I just painted my studio. They'll never do that. And paint's cheap. And if it's really important to you to change something in your house, paint one wall. And that changing that one wall will do wonders for your mindset because it'll feel clean and new and fresh. When we talk about money, those things are important because you still have to eat. You still have to buy clothing. You still need furniture. You know, things like dishes, you can find at thrift stores. And, you know, if it worries you, scrub them really hard. But I guarantee you they sanitize all that stuff.
Right.
I used to work at one, I know. But it's look at ways that you can get things that you want a lot less expensively than what maybe you have your eyeball on. It's, it is like playing games. You know, I used to tell my daughter it's like a scavenger hunt. She and I would go out and we would scour thrift stores and yard sales and, you know, flea markets and everything looking for deals. And it is like a big game. Let's see what I can score. You know, of course, most of those places take cash. But again, that's something you can save for. You know, you can set up a budget. I'm going to put $5 in the bank, and when I have 50, I'm going to go and find out if I can buy a new whatever you're looking for that money. Well, I heard a financial advisor recently tell someone, set up multiple savings accounts when you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stress out on it that you have to do it now. Do one for now. But he said build ideally three savings accounts. One that you can tap into when your checking account balance gets low. One that is kind of for special stuff that you maybe need to save up for a little bit more. You know, maybe a newer car or new clothes or whatever that is for you. And then that third one, that is your I am saving to pay off bill money. And he said every time you have $100, you look at your credit cards, you look at whatever bills you have, and you say, I'm going to use X amount of dollars because you don't want to close that savings account. You want to leave money in it. But I'm going to pay like $40 extra on this card. If you start doing that, and it takes a while for a lot of people to get even to that point. But when you start doing that on a regular basis, you will be amazed at how quickly you can get out of debt and not need to use those cards again. Sit down and write out how much money do you spend on gas every month? How much money do you spend on food every month? You know, what are your utilities? Your basics. Write down what your basic outlay is. And then maybe if you get behind on your utility bill, you can find help. You can find assistance. Most places have that where they can help you pay that bill. So that you keep your lights on. Maybe combining trips that you take. You know, if you're not driving every day, that's an awesome opportunity to save. You know, I don't drive every day. So on those days where I know I have to get out, what other errands can I run while I'm out? So I combine multiple trips into one trip. You know, there's always carpooling. Things like that can save you a little bit of gas money and wear and tear on your car. But you sometimes need to be really creative. And your creativity has to start with you sitting down every day and saying, I am worthy. I am worthy of being debt-free. I can be debt-free. I am debt-free. You have to start with where you are. And if you don't believe right now you can be debt-free, you telling yourself, I am debt-free, is not going to be helpful. Ultimately, that's going to be frustrating because you're going to know you're lying to yourself. So start where you are. I can easily pay bills every month. That's a great place to start, especially if you've really been struggling. Just every morning, first thing in the morning, I easily pay my bills every month. And then from there, go to, I easily save money every month. And once you're comfortable with telling yourself those things, then you can move on to, I easily get out of debt and I am debt free. But don't start too far down the road from where you're at, because you're going to find that's frustrating. And a lot of people that I've spoken with through the years who don't believe in affirmations or the law of attraction or any of this, it's because that's what they did. Do not sabotage yourself from the beginning. You know, we can give you tools and tips all day long, but you're the one that has to implement them. And you're the one that has to choose what you tell yourself. So if you're really struggling, just start with, I easily pay bills every month. I easily have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
Start there.
Yep.
And then as you get more comfortable, you can progress.
There are a lot of mind resets that you can do, as well as healing the trauma bonds. And trauma bonds, that's a touchy title, right? The trauma bond doesn't have to be what most people equate trauma to be, some sort of horrible, terrible, massive, life-changing, something that took away security, or something that, you know, an accident that caused, you know, a disability or a medical issue or things along those lines. That doesn't a lot of us equate trauma to war, and that doesn't have to be. The trauma can happen on, I really want to be touchy or select with the words that I use, on things that are not necessarily equated to war. Trauma can be, I don't want to say smaller because that sounds like it's downplaying it. Can you help me with some words here, Kelly? This is where I get a little,
trauma is anything. You know, there are so many people that are walking around totally traumatized, and it's because it wasn't one event that was their normal. If you grew up in an abusive household, if you had a string of abusive relationships, if you were made to do something you really didn't want to do repeatedly in your life, that's traumatizing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have PTSD from things that are not in any way related to being in a battle. You know, I have complex PTSD. I never served in the military. And yet that was my diagnosis when I finally went 40 years ago. And it can be a series of, you know, if you had an alcoholic parent and you knew that they would hit you if they saw you when they came home, you learn to hide. That's traumatizing. You know, some people are so incredibly sensitive that something that are a great honor is traumatizing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was such an empath and such an introvert in school that I won a science award, and I was shocked by the fact that I won. I had no idea. And when they pulled me up on stage, I didn't want to go. I started crying. That traumatized me to the point where the next semester I failed that same class. I went from having 109 average, an A plus, to an F because I was traumatized and nobody could figure it out. Well, it was a great honor. You're so smart, blah, blah, blah. No, in my mind, what you did was shock me because I was not prepared.
Right.
I didn't even know there was an award. Then they pulled me up in front of the entire school assembly knowing that I was introverted and did not like crowds. And then to top it off, they invited my abuser. And I had to stand with this person and have pictures taken. That was the single worst experience in my entire education. Had nothing to do with war, but I felt attacked. And that was very traumatizing. And people are saying, well, what does that have to do with money? Everything. Everything. Because what happens when you are traumatized is you don't want to be seen. Things affect you differently than people who have not known trauma. And what that does is it makes you feel differently about yourself. And that creates shame and guilt and all of those feelings that we try to placate by spending money. Oh, if I buy this, I'll feel much better. Oh, I need that to feel happy. No, you don't. What you need to do is start loving yourself as you are and understand that you are not your trauma. If you had parents that, you know, continually file bankruptcy every opportunity they could, you are not that. You can do better. You can do more. You can treat yourself better. You don't have to say, well, this is what I was taught, so it must be true. You can create a whole different way of thinking. Start small. You know, you have to start where you're at. And that's one thing with years of working with people who have been traumatized in one way or another. That's the hardest thing, because what you do is you realize you've kind of been left behind. And, well, I should have done better. Well, I should be here by now. Well, I should be doing that by now. None of that matters. What matters is right now you have realized where you're at. And you have realized it's not where you want to be. So instead of beating yourself up, let's take one step forward. Let's help you build a little bit of security. And, you know, like Lisa said, it snowballs. It really does. Once you start playing that game with yourself, you know what? I wonder if I can save $25 this month instead of $10. Once you start doing that, you're going to realize that you feel so much better about yourself. And then one day you're going to realize, oh, wow, my money story is completely different now. All you have to do is start. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter where you've been traumatized. Doesn't matter if somebody has, you know, made you feel like you were the worst person in the world. None of that matters. What matters right now is you. You matter. Start telling yourself you matter. And you deserve to have nice things. And you deserve to start being able to spend money that you've saved. There is nothing, and I guarantee you, there is no better feeling than saving money for a particular purpose. In my case, it was a car. And being able to walk onto a car lot and pay cash. That was a high. I don't know. I know I will eventually surpass that. But right now, that was the high point in my life. I walked onto a car lot, picked out my car, paid cash, and drove it away. But it started with $10 in the savings account. So you just got to start. We are kind of sort of winding down, and I know you have more to say about that. So what do you think?
Sounds like a great show for next week. When you start, I am absolutely a person who needs, who craves, and who wants outside affirmation or outside confirmation. I want people to recognize what I have done. I want people to recognize me. When I see what I've done in numbers on my bank accounts and I'm watching my investments grow, that's outside confirmation for me that I am doing a good thing. I don't need anything more than that when it comes to that. It does snowball for me. It's like, where can I slide a little bit of money here or there? I am now a member of an investment app that I will highly recommend in the comments. It rounds up my purchases, and after I get a certain amount, it slides it into a savings plan for me. So that's money I never see. I don't spend it. It comes out of my miscellaneous account on my budget, if you will. But, you know, it's something that I don't think about it. I don't see it. When I get to a certain level, they take it out and put it into an investment portfolio for me. Very low risk investment portfolio, because I don't like to take too many chances. But, you know, if you like outside confirmation, if you need somebody to approve of what you've done, use that bank account as that confirmation that you need. When you start to see that grow, your confidence is going to grow, and do the deeper work to keep it that way so that you don't backslide and just go right back to those old patterns. It really does come down to loving yourself and working on changing those patterns and making them your new reality.
Yeah. And the first step is realizing you have patterns that you'd like to change. That sounds really simple. And I know myself, when I first heard that, I went, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The first step is to realize you have patterns you want to change. One thing you mentioned about my bank calls those roundups. And every time I buy something and I reach a certain amount, they automatically sweep that amount into my savings. And I don't do anything. I just, you know, it just happens automatically. I think there are several banks that do that now. But, you know, listeners, look at your bank. You know, first off, if you have a bank that is charging you money every month to keep your money in there, please research other banks.
Find another one. Yep.
Yeah. You do not need to pay those service fees. But then, you know, compare banks. You know, maybe you use your debit card everywhere and you need a bank that has no debit card fees. There are banks out there like that. You know, when you're looking at banks, look for what you need. It's not what bank you think has the prettiest logo or is closest to your house anymore. Look for what you need. Don't sell yourself short. You deserve to have a bank that offers what you need.
I found a bank that gave me $200 for opening my account if I deposited a certain amount of money automatically into that account each month. And it was something that was simple to do because all I had to do was switch my paycheck to be, you know, deposited into that account.
Right.
And as long as I had that going in there, then after a certain amount of time, they gave me $200. That was awesome. I had an extra $200 in a savings account, you know, it's my oh shit account, but that is my account. That is my emergency account. And it's the immediate emergency. It's the one that is, if something happens, I have, you know, at least 3 months of bills covered. And it's starting small. And I just want to say something also as well, Kelly, because it seems like we're asking a lot of people to make a lot of cutbacks, but we are not scarcity people here. I am not going to intimidate you into making you think that if you purchase a coffee every morning that that is terrible and that you should stop. We are not about scarcity here. We're about knowing that the universe has got you and they are going to all that it's always going to provide for you. God, universe, what source, whatever you relate to that other being that guides us. that entity, for lack of a better term, will always be there and always, always, always has your back. We are not about scarcity. However, if there are some things that need to be changed and you're just buying that coffee or that purse every week or whatever because of some other reason and you are not where you need to be financially, that's where we need to make the changes in your mindset. I already said, you know, there's ways to get more, and that's what the universe wants. And when you start putting that money into the account, that's your action that's going to change your mindset. And we're not about scarcity here. I'm not asking you to give up anything unless it's something that you need to do so that you can see it right now, because you just don't have the faith yet that you're going to get more.
Right, and it all comes down to how you feel about yourself, you know? It became a game with me. It became a game with you. What I did before I lived in the middle of nowhere and have to make my own coffee, when I still lived in a populated area, I played a game with myself because I heard some guy on TV talking about, you know, this one coffee company that was raising their rates, and I thought, huh, that's my coffee shop. So I said, I wonder how much money, because I had no idea at that time, it would save me if I just started making coffee at home. And that's all I changed that first month. And I was shocked at how much money I was spending on coffee.
Yeah.
Because at that time in my life, I had more money than sense. And it was a wake-up call to me. Yes, I had good money coming in, but wow, the amount of money I was wasting every month on things I didn't need. And I asked myself, really, is the coffee that I can make at home really that much inferior to what I bought at this coffee shop? And I found out I could make almost an identical coffee drink at home for, you know, almost 90% less than what I was paying. So if you like to play games with yourself, and some people don't, but if you're one of those people
right.
that likes to challenge yourself, see what you come up with. It's amazing, and it's fun when you start doing it, but you got to start, and start where you are, not where you think you should be.
Yes.
I think that's about all I have for this week.
Me too.
So thank you guys for listening. As always, please like and share the show. You know, there. If you want to reach out to either one of us, on the description of the show, there are links that you can reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find Lisa other places. I know right now Facebook is the best way to reach me. So we will see you next week. And thanks so much for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.